Turn to James chapter 3. You look at this book, you'll come away bleeding. It's a difficult book. He'll give you a black eye and a bloody nose, too. He does not pull punches. He says what the Holy Spirit tells him to say. He writes what the Holy Spirit told him to write. And I promise you, this chapter is not an easy one. It's not tenderfoot territory, I promise you. But it sure is good. Verse 1 says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that ye shall receive the greater condemnation." The word condemnation doesn't mean condemnation like hell. It means judgment. We all will face him. And he says that those who are masters, that word master means teacher. It literally means like he was called master. Many times said good master or master. It has the idea of that Jewish rabbi or a Jewish teacher, someone who took the word. And in these verses, we're going to find out something. That is that speech is vitally important. It's a vital part of our spiritual development. As we walk through this book, we've seen that suffering in Scripture and subordination, now also speech, is something that's vitally important if we're going to grow. It's important to our spiritual development. James is a book that says, "I want you to grow." It's a book where God said, "I'm not satisfied with you where you're at, and I'm going to help you to grow. If you'll listen to me, I'll help you develop." And in these verses, the first 12 verses, he deals with our speech or how we talk or what we say or what we don't say. It's already been mentioned a couple of times. Not saying what we should say is just as wrong as saying what we shouldn't. Our tongue should be used for the glory of God. And these type of things like gossip and slander and lying and false accusation and rumors and profanity and blasphemy, complaining, criticizing, abuses, words, ridiculing, backbiting, dirty jokes, exaggeration, meddling, or tail-bearing. That's just a few of things that kind of came to my mind as I was looking through these verses. Got a question. How is Adolf Hitler and Oliver Green similar? Got another question. How is Jimi Hendrix and the Inspirations much alike? The reason the way they are similar is because they use the same member, they use the same body function to accomplish their goal, to get across their message. Totally different messages, certainly no doubt about that. But they use the tongue as in an effective manner to accomplish what they desire. The same tool can be used to good and godly or bad and abusive. So we find here that our words can be powerful. He mentions, notice, he says, "My brethren." He's talking to people that he loves. He's trying to kind of tenderize it a little bit. He says, "Now, brethren, folks," he knows where he's going. I'm thinking he's trying to kind of make it a little bit tender. He does really love these people. And he says, "Be not many masters." It simply means there should not be many of you who should be teachers. Now, that's strange to me when I think about it to begin with. Because when you think about it, the Word of God, you would think the more the merrier. The more telling the Word, that's got to be good. But James says not. And he says, many of you should not be teaching. Some of you should not be proclaiming. He says, in other words, don't take lightly the fact of teaching or proclaiming or preaching the Word. There should not be many masters. And he tells us why, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. He says, those who teach the word, if you will, are held to a higher standard. God, when he looks at those that proclaim the word, he looks at them as someone who is responsible for his word. And what they've said is vitally important. What they say is they teach. What they say is they preach. What their tongue utters is vitally important, and God is listening. And every word that is uttered will be held accountable for. He's talking to those who would think they'd like to be those who proclaim the word. Now understand, the word master here is a teacher. We would call it a rabbi. And in that day, a rabbi was held in high esteem. They were honored. They were respected. So it'd be very easy to say, boy, I sure would like to have that. All that recognition, all those pats on the back. When they walk down the road, everybody looks and smiles and waves. And there'd be some that say, I sure would like to have that. James says, you better be careful. You better make sure that if you're doing it, God puts you in it. Because of the importance of what you say, the importance of how your tongue utters, they'll be judged more severely. The reason is because of the danger of misleading someone. I very carefully go through this Bible when I'm studying. I very carefully say what I say when I'm preaching. And when I'm giving my opinion, I try to always tell you this is what I think. It's not what the Bible says, maybe necessarily, but I'll give you my opinion. What a teacher or preacher says is vitally important. If they mislead someone, how dangerous that is. What's some dangerous jobs? I'm not asking you to answer out loud, but in your mind, I think about a surgeon. Think about a firefighter. I think about the high steel workers. There's a lot of people who have jobs that are dangerous, but that person who teaches or preaches the Word of God has a job that's more dangerous than them all because they are working with eternal souls. And this Bible is so vitally important that we get it right. James said, all of you don't need to be teaching. So don't jump into this teaching thing. Don't think that it's something to be admired or desired. In other words, he says it again. I'll say it again. If you do it, make sure God puts you in it. And if he did, do it. If he did, do it. If he did put you there, you got to do it. But he's just saying, be careful about it. See, we need to realize that God does use people, and he wants to use people. You see, people are depending on teachers, and people are depending on preachers to open this book and tell them what God said. Boy, that's a good thing. That's a privilege, but it's a responsibility. And James said, not everybody ought to be a teacher because there's a judgment involved. They're accountable for every word that they say. Look on in verse 2. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man and able to also to bridle the whole body. He said, in many things we offend all. We could say the same words and it would be better understood or understandable. He's simply saying we all offend. In many things, we all offend. Or we offend, all of us offend in many ways. He's simply saying that word offend means to err, to sin, or to fail. And he's telling the truth. He said, we fall in many ways. We all fail in many ways. But he's going to make a point here. He's dealing with how we use the tongue, how we say what we say. And we probably misuse the tongue more than we do any other member of our body. And I think that's what James is saying. When you go to the doctor, a lot of times he'll say, stick out your tongue. And he looks at your tongue to examine you and find out what kind of physical issue you have. Well, God would say to us tonight, stick out your tongue. I want to examine you, and I can tell, I can tell by your tongue how good you are or how healthy you are spiritually or how sickly you are by your tongue, by how you use your tongue and what you say or don't say. He says, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in the word, the same as a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. He says this, the tongue is so vitally important. with our spiritual makeup and our spiritual health, he says this, a person who can control their tongue can control their body. And I think that's true. I mean, I don't doubt it. I don't think it's true. He said it did. And it's not just James' opinion. This is what God's saying. He says, if you can control your tongue, or if God has control of your tongue, if your tongue is bridled, you can bridle your whole body. All the members, those members that could do wrong. If you can control that tongue, you can control those members. What a searching statement that is. He says, we in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man. Doesn't mean sinless perfection. Of course not. It means mature or complete. God said the way I tell if somebody's mature or not is I listen to how they talk. I listen to how they use their tongue. If you want to be a mature Christian, you got to at least consider how you use your tongue. We dare not forget who he's writing to, by the way. He's writing to people who have had to flee their homes because of persecution. If anybody in the world we would think would have a right to say things out of hand or off the wall or off the cuff, they would. But James said, no. Even no matter what you're going through, no matter what circumstances you're facing, no matter how people have hurt you, no matter what you're going through, you have no excuse to misuse your tongue to say the wrong thing. It's so easy to say something we shouldn't. So easy. It's so easy. He talks about the same as perfect man and able to bridle the whole body. It's so easy to use your hand to do something you shouldn't, or your feet take you somewhere they shouldn't take you, or your eyes to look at something they shouldn't. But James said it's a lot easier to use your tongue in the way it shouldn't, and I agree with that. So easy to say something without thinking. And he says if a person is able to bridle the tongue, they probably got pretty good way. They're on down the road for victory with the rest of the body. I know this, the tongues are certainly the most difficult member to control or to get authority over. And he tells us how difficult it is. Look on verse 3. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. James begins here a three-part illustration to illustrate what he's saying. Now, he has said that tongue wants to control itself. That tongue is an unruly member, he'll say in just a minute. That tongue wants to, it does have a mind of its own. And he says not only does that tongue want to be controlled by something outside, it wants to be controlled by the devil. The devil will use it. Peter found that out. I'm talking tonight and right here about our words can be powerful. They can be powerful enough for somebody to stand in a little stand and teach the Word of God and lives are changed. That's powerful. But that same tongue, those same words can be used in a detrimental way. They can be powerful. Notice what he says. They put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn them out in their whole body. He continues talking about the power of the tongue, and he gives an illustration of a bit in the horse's mouth. And that little bitty bit controls that big, gigantic animal with all that power, with all that will, and all that nature that fights against control. That little bit controls that animal, controls that strength, controls that power. And if you've ever ridden a horse, you know that. A little tug. The horse turns, stops, backs up. And it's because of the bit. The power of the bit controls the animal. And James said that's how our tongue is. It has power to control. It has power to control. Oh, my goodness. James said we need to realize the power of the tongue. An unbridled, unbroken horse is good for nothing. It's pretty to look at. You can't ride it. You can't use it. You can't work it. All you got to do is feed it, water it, take care of it. And James said that your old nature left to itself will be useless. A person with an unbridled tongue is like that horse. It's pretty much useless for the work of God. But James said that tongue, if it's under control, you get control of the tongue, you got control of the body. It can be useful. We'll look about that in just a minute, maybe, but don't forget it. The horse is very little value unless it's controlled. The person's very little value to God unless the tongue's under control. Look in verse 4. Behold, also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven by of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Another illustration. He's talking about the tongue has power. He said it has power to where somebody can stand and teach and lives are changed. But it also has power like that horse. That little bit is controlling the horse because it gets that horse under control. The tongue does that. But then he gives another illustration about a large ship, and he words it like this. They're so great. It's a vast ship. It's a big ship, and it's not just a ship, but it's driven by fierce winds. It's out in the sea in a storm. And the rudder of that ship controls the ship in its vastness, in its size, in its bigness. And storms driving against it, trying to control the ship, but the rudder controls the ship. That little bitty rudder controls it. A large object being tossed by fierce winds is controlled by the rudder of the ship. And listen, the ship goes where the captain wants it to. He's talking about the Lord getting control of our tongue to where he can control us. The captain is able to direct the ship. It's large and cumbersome, and winds and waves are contrary, but the rudder gets it under control. If the rudder is there and the captain's in charge of the rudder, the ship will go where the captain wants it to. He talks about the ship being so great. Even in that day, they had some pretty big ships. Paul was on one where there was 276 people on board. It's a pretty good-sized ship. A whole lot bigger than the rudder. Like the horse is a whole lot bigger than the bit. I got thinking about this, and today the largest cruise ship is 1,187 feet long. It has 2,747 staterooms, and it is big enough to accommodate 5,479 guests in double occupancy. You ever looked at one of those cruise ships? Some of you been on them. They big. But comparatively speaking, that rudder, the same type of rudder for the most part that James is talking about, directs, guides, controls that ship. And again, driven by fierce winds. In other words, there's an outside force. It's not just the fact that here's this big boat. How in the world do you control it? But more than that, there's storms blowing. But he says, that rudder, in the hand of the captain, it'll be controlled. And that's what he's saying about our tongue. He's wanting to use us. He wants us to give control to our tongue to him. And when we do that, there's power involved. Look in verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Here's the third illustration James gives. He's talking about the tongue is powerful. What we say can accomplish a lot, good or bad. Adolf Hitler accomplished a lot of bad. Oliver Green accomplished a lot of good, and they both used the same member, the tongue. And James says our tongue, our words can be powerful. He says just like that bit in the horse, just like that rudder on the ship, just like the fire, a little spark. I don't think they've absolutely proven that Mrs. O'Leary's cow kicked the lantern over in the barn, but they do know that it started in the O'Leary barn and the Chicago fire happened. I lived in Newbern when I was little, and those fires would come through those pine trees, boy, and I'm telling you, just devastate up in the mountains last year. They just had fires a year before, just burning everywhere out in California, and so many of them start from one little spark. And James says something that's small, a tongue, can cause something big, a lot of devastation. There's a power in the tongue. The tongue has power. He says we need to make sure that we use our tongue rightly, that we don't misuse it. It says it boasteth great things. It literally means to talk big. This little member can speak great things, whether good or bad. It has the ability to speak great and astounding things. I'll say it again. From a little spark, hundreds of thousands of acres can burn up because of the destruction and destroy everything in its path. Trees, homes, people's lives. And the tongue can do the same thing. It has the power to destroy. It has the power to hurt and to harm. The fire of the tongue can spread through a home or a neighborhood or a church or a community, destroying everything in its path. A few words misspoken, a few words of gossip has the potential to spray it like wildfire and destroy many lives. A few words of incorrect doctrine. I'm not just talking about gossip tonight, but anything we use our lips for, our tongue for, think about it. There's people tonight that say, they say with their lips, you don't have to be saved to go to heaven. Just do the best you can. How detrimental, how harmful that is. The words misspoken can discourage people. The Bible talks about in Joshua that their hearts melted when they heard what people said. It discouraged them. We can hurt others. The wounds of a talebearer, or the words of a talebearer, are like wounds. It says it's like an arrow. It wounds from a distance. And that's how words can be. Psalm 64, verse 3, bend their arrows and bend their bows and shoot their arrows, even bitter words. Words are like wood that keeps the fire going. The longer we talk, the more damage is done. None of us would ever think about setting our neighbor's house on fire. I sure hope not. But our words can keep fires burning that will hurt them almost as bad. We need to be careful about how we talk or what we say. Whether it's true or not really is not the issue so many times. Sometimes it's just simply best to leave things unsaid. Sometimes the fewer words are the better. Proverbs says in Proverbs 17:27, he that have knowledge spareth his words. He said that person that's smart knows how to say a few words, not say anything more than has to be. One thing for sure, once it's said, it's too late. You can't take it back. The damage is already done. That's why Paul said, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. He said, make it a little bit seasoning. Speak with grace. Now, these illustrations, a bit in a horse's mouth and a rudder on a ship and fire, we automatically, and I've used it this way, and so does James, we automatically think of the negative ways or the overcoming aspect, but it also can be good. That horse, when it's controlled, can be used greatly. And that ship, when it's under control, can be used greatly. And even a fire, when it's contained, a little child can get warm. You can cook some supper. There's some good things, and that's what James is saying. When your tongue's under control, great things can happen. But when it's not, it can be so harmful. Our words are powerful. Verse 6, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and set on fire of hell. I'm telling you, James don't pull any punches. He does say it how it is, but he says it how the Lord says. He says the tongue is like a fire. A lot can be said about our tongue. And one thing for sure, if it's not controlled, it causes havoc. It causes problems. It has a mind of its own. It says it's a world of iniquity. It literally means it's a little like a city that's full of sin. I thought about Sodom. Sodom was a city known for sin, and what happened in Sodom was almost all sin. And James said, that's what your tongue's like. It's like a little city in your mouth that's full of sin. It's amazing how James words these things. All types of ungodliness are within the walls, and all kinds of ungodliness can be spoken if we're not careful. You see, words make the sin worse. You can be jealous inside and nobody will know. But when you speak, it makes it worse. You can be lustful inside and maybe nobody will know. It's sin. And if we dwell on those lustful thoughts, it's sin. But if you speak flirtatious words, it becomes worse. And that's what James is saying. It's like a world of iniquity. It's like a little city inside that the more you speak, the worse it gets. The more it reveals the sin that's inside. Anger is sinful, but when we let it out with our mouth, and it becomes more of a sin. It compounds the sin. Notice what it says, a world of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body. It literally means to stain the whole body. It messes up everything. It makes matters worse. Loose tongue contaminates everything. There's no such thing. Listen, he said a uncontrolled, unbridled tongue messes you up all over. You know what that means? There's no such thing as a clean life if we don't have a bridled tongue. There's no such thing as a clean life if we have a dirty tongue. That's what Jesus said, that which cometh out of a man is that that defileth the man. What people think of us is very much determined by how we talk and what we say. Notice what it says. I'll say this and try and move on. It is set on fire of hell. James says, you want to know where the source of all that stuff is? Hell. He said it had come straight from the devil. You know what I thought about? The first thing I thought about is Peter. Peter said, not so, Lord. And Jesus didn't, he stopped talking to Peter and he started talking straight to the devil. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. Satan spoke through Peter. And an unbridled tongue, that's liable to happen. He says it's set on fire of hell. It comes from the devil. All that stuff that we say that we shouldn't say, it doesn't come from heaven. It doesn't come from the Lord. The influence of the tongue can spread and affect our entire life. He says it's a world of iniquity, but also he talks about the fire, the course of nature. It's like a big wheel. And the tongue's in the center, setting the whole thing on fire. He said, life is like a wheel. And it's like that wheel is rolling down through the woods, setting everything on fire from start to beginning. You know, some temptations, the older you get, they may lessen some. You understand? But this thing of misusing the tongue is something that never lessens. From beginning of life to the ending of life, the temptation to misuse our tongue will be very evident. I thought about Pentecost. He talked here about a tongue being a fire. I thought about Pentecost. They had tongues come down on them, tongues of fire. That's a good fire. James talks about a bad fire. Look in verse 7 and 8. For of every beast, every kind of beast, birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and have been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Man alive, that those verses are full. He says of every kinds of beasts, of birds and serpents and things in the sea is tamed. Man's tamed just about everything that moves. Dog shows, animal shows, whale shows. They train snakes. About everything you can think about has been trained or tamed by man. But James says they can tame an animal, but they can't tame their tongue. The wildest of beasts have been tamed, but no man, did you hear that? No man can tame his tongue. About time you think you got control of it, it'll just fly off the handle. It'll turn loose again. Said no man can tame it. It's an unruly evil. It literally means unrestrainable. It means out of control. It cannot be held down. It's ready to break out any time at any moment. And he said, listen to me, notice what he said. No man can tame it. And if you've ever tried, you know you can't. But you know who can? Our God. And that's his whole point. That's my point. We can't do it, but he can. And that's why the bit in the horse's mouth and the rudder on the boat, when the captain gets control of it, when the rider of the horse gets control of the tongue, when we give him control, then good things can happen by the power of the Holy Spirit. Our words can be powerful. Verse 8, the last part, our words can be poisonous. Notice what he says, the last part, but the tongue can no man tame, is an unruly evil full of deadly poison, like that viper getting ready to strike and sink his teeth in and put that poison in and kill his victim. He said, that's how the tongue is. Words can be poisonous. Words can hurt. Words can kill. It's like you stay away from a rattlesnake if you got any sense. And James said you need to be careful about how you use your words because they're like poison. Your tongue's like poison. It has the power to kill. It can kill a reputation, just like that. Somebody lived right for years, and somebody, maybe they did do something wrong, but someone speaks and ruins their reputation, and that poison spreads. Hey, you can kill somebody's spirit by what you say. You can kill someone's desire to serve God by what you say. They hear what we say, and it does make a difference. And what we say says a lot about ourselves. I said, Ian, some things just don't need to be repeated. Some things need to be left unsaid. Proverbs 21, verse 23, whosoever keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Proverbs 26, 20, where no wood is, then the fire goeth out. And where there's no talebearer, the strife ceases. Like there's no wood to go in the fire, sooner or later it burns out. That's what he said. The words that keep on being spoken are like fire, the wood that's thrown on the fire. It keeps it burning. Proverbs 10, 19, the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. He said, if you watch what you say, you're a pretty smart person. Bible says that wicked men speak wicked things. Proverbs 15, 28, the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. Proverbs 16, 27, an ungodly man diggeth up evil, and his lips there is a burning fire. Again, it has a power to kill. We need to make sure we're careful in what we say and what we don't say. I want to say this. Again, it's not just what we speak, but what we don't speak. He's talking about using our tongue to the good or the bad. He said, don't do the bad, but do the good. So we need to give our tongue to him. Our tongues can be powerful. Our words can be powerful. Our words can be poisonous. beginning in verse 9, our words can be proof. He said, if you want to know what you're really like spiritually, don't examine everything you do all the time, because some of that may be false. Some of that may not be consistent. But he said, examine your words. Our words can be proved. Notice what it says beginning in verse 9. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we the men which are made out of the similitude of God. He said, we say amen on Sunday morning and then say something we shouldn't before Sunday night. He said, these things just ought not to be. Our words can be proof. Our words will prove what we really are. If you want to know what you really like, check on your words, how you talk. Our words will tell us a lot about ourselves. And then James is trying to make the point that what we say is godly. And he's not just saying, just make yourself say the right thing. Just make yourself say the right thing. He's saying you ought to put your heart in the hand of the Lord and let him work on you to where you want to say the right thing. And when you say the right thing, it's because that's what you are. He's not trying to say we're to put on an act or act like something we're not. And in fact, that's what he's saying by the bit and the rudder. Let your words be true about what's in your heart, but hopefully you let God touch your heart to where your words will be godly and right. What a privilege. Notice, therewith bless we God. I can't just skip over that. We ought to bless him. We ought to praise him. He's worthy. And the Bible says in Psalm 150, if you're alive, you're breathing, praise him. You have the ability, you have the privilege, you have the honor to praise your God, to worship him in words, to use this tongue to glorify him and to honor him and bring a blessing to him. And James says, therewith bless we God. We need to improve on that. Even the Father, and therewith curse we men. We need to improve on that too. James said to you, we use the same tongue to do two completely different things. And he said, therewith curse we men which are made out of the similitude of God. God made man in his image. Here's what he's saying. We bless the Lord and curse what he made. That doesn't make sense, says James. And it doesn't make sense to me, but we do it. Verse 10. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Again, he says, brethren, he's trying to keep it tender. He's trying to let them know he really does love them. And I am too tonight, by the way. This is out of love. It's been a tough one again for all of us, but the same tongue says holy and unholy things. Praise God with a tongue and blaspheme God with a tongue. Bless him and curse his people. Amen one day and one minute and criticize the next. Look in verse 11. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs? So can no man fountain yields salt water and fresh. He just says, go out there in the yard and look. If you got a fig tree, there ain't berries on it. Go out there and look at the spring. If it's fresh water, it's fresh water. If it's salty water, it's salty water. In Israel, there's places all over the place where one spring may be salt water, the next spring may be fresh water. So, I mean, even close together, you can have both. But he said, you never find both in one. You find either or, salt or sweet, salt or clear, salt or good. And he said, when we use a tongue for good things one moment and bad the next, it's just not even natural. It's not even normal. And he says, the source of the spring, notice what it says. Can the fig tree, my brother, bear olive berries or either a vine figs, so that no fountain can both yield salt water and fresh? It literally means to gush out. It means to come forth. And I thought, that sure sounds like our tongue sometimes. Sounds like our words sometimes. They just come out without us thinking. But it shouldn't be that way, because we should, like the horse, have the control. He should have the control over us. Our words can be ungodly. And if our words are ungodly, it's proof. I'm talking about now, our words can be proof. He said you got a good spring giving good water, or you got a bad spring giving bad water, and not both. So he's saying our words will tell us a whole lot about ourselves. It'll tell us a whole lot about our hearts. If our words are ungodly, so is our nature, so is our attitude. We need to be reminded how the tongue can tear down or the tongue can strengthen. There's been times in my life that somebody just said the right thing at the right time. Boy, I needed it. Then there's been some times that somebody said the wrong thing at the wrong time, and I didn't. You know what? I've done the same thing. There's times I've said things and I thought, why in the world did you say that? Where did that come from? Well, James tells me. We need to be careful how we talk, what we say, what we don't say. Wrong words can destroy a relationship, divide a church, devastate a family. Wrong words can start more, can cause murder and war. Words are powerful. Words can stir love, promote excitement, comfort, give peace, provide joy and contentment, or they can destroy. Every Christian ought to have a sanctified life. And every Christian ought to have a sanctified tongue. Thank you for listening. Amen to James. I came away with a black eye tonight, at the very least. Let's stand together.